And we're going to look at this passage one more time and finish up this Bible study series that we've been doing for the last several weeks now together. But let's read it to begin with, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is Jesus himself speaking in these verses of scripture. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful again that we can come and worship you today. We thank you for the word of God that you've given to us in the scriptures. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and who is now among us to anoint our ears to hear what he would say and to reveal to us truth from the word. I pray, God, that as we look at the scriptures today, our hearts will rejoice and we will be open and willing to do whatever we hear you say. And we'll receive the word of God engrafted, which the scriptures tell us is able to save our souls. Thank you, Father. We count ourselves blessed already because of your presence here. And we count and believe now that you will bless us still through the study of the word. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "Come to me." And he said, "Learn of me." Come to me. Learn of me. That's what we're going to endeavor to do here together this morning. As I said, we're going to wrap up our study. We've been looking for about 6 or 8 weeks now on the subject of what we've called keys to inner healing. How do you get over the offenses that people commit against you, the things that people say about you, the things that they say to you, the things that they do to you that hurt you and wound you inwardly and emotionally? And so we want to deal with these things one more time this morning and find out how we come to that place of healing inwardly where we find rest for our souls. Now, in our study, we found out that the key to this thing is learning how to walk in a spirit of forgiveness toward everybody all the time. No matter what it is they've done, no matter how long they've been doing it, no matter how deeply we've been hurt by it, we still must come to the place where we can release the offense through the spirit of forgiveness in order to find our own healing inwardly of the wounds that have taken place. And so obviously this is going to require us to come to Jesus. We can't do this on our own. Most of us, if we'd be honest, most of us don't in a natural way move in the direction of forgiveness when people do things to us, do we? And the rest of you are not telling the truth. Do we? We don't do that. It's not normal. When people do something to you, say something to you, your natural instinct is to retaliate. It's revenge. It's get even, you know. That's what human nature does. And the worse the offense is, the more likely we are to do that. And what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for failure in our life and defeat at the hands of our enemy. We're going to talk more about that this morning. But we need to come to the place where we can love as Jesus loves. And by the power of his Holy Spirit within us, we can forgive everybody all the time, totally, for whatever offense they've committed against us. And again, we just to point out to you the reasons that we need to do this. First of all, unforgiveness is in of itself a sin. Do you understand that? That when somebody does something, in fact, when somebody does something to you, somebody offends you in some kind of way, do you realize that that offense against you is really a test of your character? Because what it does, it gives you an opportunity to respond. And you get an opportunity to see what you're really made of, what your character is really like. Are you a person who walks in love, or are you a person that walks in the flesh and seeks revenge? The way that you respond reveals what's in your heart. It reveals what kind of person you are. And so these things become tests to us in order to show us our own heart and show us areas in our life maybe where we need the transforming power of God. Unforgiveness, we said, cuts us off from the grace of God. It hinders our prayers. In Matthew chapter 6 and Mark chapter 11, where Jesus makes some astounding promises, prayer is concerned, and faith mountains and causes miracles and all of these things. He goes on to say, after the instruction for prayer, he says, oh, by the way, when you're praying, be sure your heart is right and you're in a spirit of forgiveness. Because if you forgive, God will release things into your life. But if you don't forgive, then that unforgiveness will hinder God's work of grace in your heart and in your life. So when we walk in unforgiveness, it's to our own hurt. It's to our own pain. That's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 27. Don't give the devil an opportunity. See, walking in unforgiveness is opening the door for darkness in your life and giving the devil an opportunity. And the Bible tells us that he's looking for people. We're going to read in just a little while. We'll see in 1 Peter where the devil is looking for people that he can devour. That tells me something about the devil. That tells me the devil can't just devour anybody anytime he wants to. He's got to find somebody whose heart's not right with God so that he has an avenue into their life and can wreak havoc in their lives and bring destruction against them. So unforgiveness gives place and opportunity for the enemy. We found out in Matthew chapter 18 where we looked at the parable of concerning forgiveness in that parable that Jesus taught there. Jesus said, when you don't forgive, he said, you open the door to calamity, to disease, to oppression. All of these things can come our way when we walk in a spirit of unforgiveness. Won't ask you to turn to it this week, but I trust you have looked up Proverbs 11 and verse 17 and underlined it in your Bible. And it says simply this. It says, the merciful man does himself good. The merciful man. Mercy, forgiveness is an act of mercy. Okay? So he says, the merciful man, or the one who is willing to forgive, watch, does himself good. We do ourselves good when we forgive others. Translation goes to say, the cruel man, that would be the man who walks in bitterness, the man who chooses to withhold forgiveness, the man who continues to be angry and hateful because of offense. It says, the cruel man does himself harm. See? So we see from the word of the Lord that forgiving other people is to our benefit. It blesses us when we forgive others. It opens the door. It gives God an opportunity to bring blessing into our life. Unforgiveness destroys relationships of all kinds. It can destroy a marriage relationship. It cuts us off. Listen, it cuts us off from the people. Listen, you and I live in this world where we need one another to be emotionally healthy and strong. Do you realize that? You can't live on your own in this world. You've got to be connected to people. Because love is what helps us be emotionally strong and whole. And we need to receive love from one another in order to be whole and at peace inwardly in our heart. And so we can't be in a spirit of unforgiveness and receive the love that we need from people to make ourselves whole. Simply put, brother and sister, the choice to walk a path of bitterness and unforgiveness is the choice of a path of destruction in your life. In virtually every area of our life, bitterness, unforgiveness destroys it as it destroys us from within. So unforgiveness is a master tool of the devil. And by the way, I'm going to talk a lot about the devil this morning. And I just want to say this to you. You know, sometimes in our society today, we become a little bit too intelligent to believe things like the devil. Oh, you know, people in the society today say, well, the devil, you know, he's not real. That's just a myth that religion teaches you to try to get you to do the right thing. And I want to tell you today, guys, listen, we are sometimes too intelligent for our own good because we go right beyond what just don't trust in your own understanding Lean on the Lord and trust in Him. And sometimes we're too intelligent for our own good, and we don't believe. In fact, did you know that not believing in the devil is one of the devil's greatest lies to humanity? You should just think about it for just a moment. He's our adversary. He is our enemy. He is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, how successful would he be in your life, Barry, if he convinces you he's not even real? How can you fight an enemy that you don't even believe exists? See? If Jimmy can convince Barry that I'm his problem, see? Wait a minute. Then he's going to be fighting me, trying to get over his problems, when it's really the devil who's causing him. You see what I'm saying? See, one of the greatest lies that the enemy has sold to humanity is he's not real. He doesn't exist. And so most of us turn against one another, don't we? We turn on each other. We find somebody else to blame. Sometimes we blame God. God gets a whole lot of blame for stuff he never did. And a lot of times is blamed for the things that the devil is doing to bring destruction and discord into our lives. And so we're going to be talking about that as we go through the morning and share this and try to wrap up this series this morning. But we want to be sure that we're not giving place to the devil, that we're walking in love and forgiveness all the time, no matter what. Well, Pastor, how do we do that? How do we get to that place that even when we don't want to, we still get to the place where we can walk in love and forgive? Let me just share with you real quick. We touched on these last week. I'll share them with you again, and then I'm going to move on and finish this up today. First of all, here's what we're going to do. Somebody does something to offend us. We have a choice. Oh, we're going to react in the flesh and seek vengeance, or we're going to walk in the Spirit and love and forgive. Now, flesh doesn't want to forgive. Flesh wants its pound of flesh, okay? It wants its vengeance. So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to let your flesh know who's really in charge in your life, okay? You've got to let your flesh know that you're going to be a man of God. You're going to be a woman of God. You're going to walk by the Spirit, and you're not going to give in to that natural urge and temptation to get revenge and to extract your form of justice on that individual. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, he says, I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest I should fail in this race of life that I'm running. He was talking about his flesh nature there, that tendency of the body to do the things that are wrong. And what he was saying is, I'm gonna make my flesh obey my spirit. And that's what you and I need to do as Christians. We need to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires and let the Spirit of God take over in our lives. Okay? That's one thing that we need to do. Second thing, we need to remember, and this is one we shared with you last, listen. When people offend us, we need to remember all of the things that God has forgiven us for. How can you forgive other people? Well, one thing you need to do is remember all the things that you've been forgiven of by God. And you begin to stop and think about the things that God's had to forgive you in your life, and that'll bring humility to your heart. That'll bring humility as you recognize all of the stuff people do. You watch the news and people doing awful, terrible things. Oh, how could they? Oh, how would... Well, look. The old saying is true, brother and sister. There but by the grace of God go I. And you could very well have been the person who did that very thing, had the timing, the circumstances, and everything been just right for you. That's why you and I should never point a finger of judgment and condemnation at somebody else and say, how could they? How could they? Because the truth of the matter is, you could have too. You're a human being just like they are, and subject to failure just like they. And so we need to remember all that God has forgiven us so that we can have the humility that we need to walk in forgiveness toward others. Third thing, ask God to change your heart. We found out from Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6, I think it was last week that we read. The Bible says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that God will give us the desires of our heart. And that doesn't mean that God's going to give us all of the material, fleshly, carnal things asking Him for. What it means is when we delight ourselves in God, He's going to change us from within. He's going to put proper His will. So ask God. Ask God to change your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Draw near to God. Seek His heart and His face. His presence will change you. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. We've got a lot of wrong attitudes of what it means, the attitudes and beliefs about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit these days. To be filled with the Holy Spirit simply means to come under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. You're filled with Him. That means He's in control. He's having His way in your heart and life. We need to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and surrender to the control of the Spirit of God, who is able, watch this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, He is able to do exceeding abundantly, far beyond anything you could ask or think. See, we all go through things in life and we think, well, that's too hard. Or what that person did to me, Pastor, you don't know what that person, you don't know how long, you don't know how deeply it hurt. I just can't forgive them. Well, not in your flesh, that's true. But the Holy Spirit within you can help you forgive that person of what they did. Because He can do what you can't do. He can do more than you can even imagine He can do. And that's what He desires to do in all of us. We have a new nature in Christ. We have the love nature in Christ according to Galatians 5:21. Romans 5 and 5 said the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our heart by the Spirit of the Lord. Colossians 3 tells us one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the love of God in our heart is the ability to forgive when we've been offended. Okay? Here's one. Listen. Begin to see that person who's offended you. Begin to see that person from the Father's perspective. See that person like God sees them. See that person like God sees you. And see if God doesn't put love in your heart for that person. Remember, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. Choose to forgive and show the love of God. And then the last thing we pointed out to you last week was this. Pray. Pray for that person that's offended you. Look at this one with me. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but look at it in this context in Luke chapter 6. Now, any pastor worth his salt has used Luke 6:38 to take an offering where it says, together and over. And I believe there's a spiritual truth and a principle there, but in all honesty, the context of that verse of Scripture is not money. The context of that verse of Scripture is love and mercy. And look at what Jesus tells us to do. Back all the way up to verse 27. Luke 6:27, Jesus is teaching His disciples here. Remember, Jesus said, come to Me and learn of Me. Here's where we're learning. Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 27, He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and so forth and so on, and through the passage of Scripture. The context is love and mercy. And we look at that verse of Scripture where it says, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And we think that's nuts. There was a guy, I used to work at a hardware store many, many years ago, Fort Hill Village, and there was the maintenance man who took care of the whole shopping center. He would come in and we'd shoot the breeze and stuff like that. And we were talking one day and he was talking about somebody had done him wrong or something like that. And a friend of mine, another guy worked with me, he's trying to witness to him, you know, and try to talk to him about the Lord and the things of God. And he says, well, brother, you just got to forgive. You got to turn the other cheek. He said, turn the other cheek. He said, if I turn the other cheek, they'll probably just hit me on that cheek too. And that's typically the way we think. And my friend said, well, you've got to forgive. You've got to let it go. You've got to turn the other cheek. And he says, well, what happens if he hits him on both, on the other cheek? And the guy finally looked at me and said, he said, well, pray for him. Just pray for him. And the guy he's witnessing to said, anybody that slaps me on both cheeks is going to need somebody praying for him. Isn't that the way we feel? The idea behind the message of turning the other cheek is letting go of the offense. It's forgiveness is what he's talking about. And look at what Jesus is actually telling us to do here. Jesus is telling us in this passage of Scripture to use this opportunity to turn the tables on the devil. Because remember, the devil wants us to react in the flesh. But if we react in the flesh, all we're doing is sowing seeds that will ultimately lead to destruction. For when you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction, according to Galatians chapter 6. So the enemy causes somebody to come up and whack old David upside the head. Now David's got, your dad like that. David's got a choice to make now. He can react in the flesh, which is just going to open the door to the enemy to come in his life. Or he can use that opportunity to turn the tables on the devil and walk in the Spirit and walk in love and walk in forgiveness. And what the devil meant for his destruction, God then turns for his good, you see. The devil wants him to react in the flesh so he can reap more havoc in his life. But if he reacts in the Spirit, he opens the door for God's blessing in his life. So when Jesus is telling us to turn the other cheek, he's telling us turn the tables on the enemy by doing what's right instead of what's wrong. Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given back to you again, you see. You open the door when you do what's right. You open the door for God to bring blessing into your life. And so pray for, well, I don't feel like praying for him. Pray for him anyway. Do it by faith. Do it by faith. Let me tell you something. Do you realize, well, I'm sure you do, that feelings often follow actions. You think about it for just a moment. When you do good for somebody, after you've done it, don't you feel good? The feelings follow the actions. Somebody said, well, you need to pray for your enemy. Pray for him. I don't feel like praying. Pray for him and see if the feelings don't change. Because feelings follow actions. And I guarantee if you pray for him very long, your heart will change toward that individual. God will see to that. God will change your heart. But now listen, you and I know, and this is where we got to last week. This is where we ended last week. Somebody offends me. I make the decision. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to bless. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what's right. You and I know that we have an adversary who doesn't give up that easily. And here's what happens. Somebody offends me, boy, they just hurt me deep. They wound me deep. And I suck it up and I say, I'm going to walk by the Spirit. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to bless. I'm going to forgive. And you go through all these things we've just talked about here, and we've done these things, and we've come to the place where we've prayed and we've asked God to bless them. And within about a day, maybe an hour, maybe 5 minutes, the enemy starts reminding you of that offense that was done against you. Forgave them, but don't remember what they did? Remember how much it hurt? Remember how bad it was? And the enemy wants to begin to play mind games with you and rehearse that evil against you, because he's trying to reel you back in to under his control, so that he can inflict more havoc on your life, get you back over into unforgiveness toward that person. You know, I was thinking about this week, and I think maybe this is why Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. People typically won't offend you 500 times a day. But the devil will remind you of it 500 times a day. And every time he reminds you of it, you need to forgive all over again. You just need to do it. You just need to make the choice that every time that thought, the reminder of that offense, And that reminder, that negative thought, understand what that is. The Bible calls that in Ephesians chapter 6, it calls it the flaming missiles of the enemy. Those negative thoughts, those evil thoughts, those thoughts of hatred and anger, those thoughts are flaming missiles of the enemy to try to get you back over in the flesh so that he can open a door for opportunity in your life and wreak havoc and destruction there. And you and I need to learn how to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and overcome those flaming missiles of the enemy, those negative thoughts, those hateful, angry thoughts that the enemy is always shooting at us. We need to take authority by exercising our spiritual authority over our enemy where these things are concerned. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're not going to have time to look at all these scriptures today. I've got about a dozen of them here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I shared with you last week, as we were closing the message last week, the importance of speaking the word of the Lord with your lips, with your mouth, and exercising authority by the spoken word to defeat the devil in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us this. Let's just look at verses 3 through 5. Here's what I'm saying to you. We need to learn how to control our thought life. Most people don't even believe you can do that. Most people don't think you can control your own thought life. And I'm here to tell you, brother, that's another lie that the devil tells you. You can't control these thoughts. You're just going to have to think these negative, evil, filthy things, and that's just the way your life is going to be. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. You and I can exercise authority over our minds, take those thoughts captive, and think on godly things and defeat the enemy in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we're in this body, we're in this natural realm for now, but we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What does he mean by fortresses there? I think what he means by fortresses there are the fortresses that the devil builds up in our minds, the fortresses of thoughts, whatever the topic might be, the thoughts of vengeance, of hatefulness, of anger toward offense, the thoughts of worry, of fear, of doubt where finances are concerned. You know, whatever it is, whatever fortress that the devil has built into your mind, here's how you take authority over it and how you tear it down. He says, the weapons of warfare that we possess, they're not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of those fortresses, to tear down those negative thoughts. We are destroying speculations, and that's worry and fear and doubt and unbelief and all of those things, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Win the war in the mind, you and I must take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How do we do that? How do we control the thoughts of our mind? And the Bible tells us in a half a dozen different places, and I don't have time to look at them all today, but here are several passages of Scripture that teach us how to control the thoughts of our mind. First of all, the Scripture teaches us that we need to meditate the Scriptures. Psalm 1:1-3. We are to meditate the Scriptures day and night so that our lives are fruitful for the glory of God. Here's what happens when we meditate the Scriptures. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 2 that our lives are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Instead of thinking about hate and anger and revenge and all these things, we start thinking the thoughts of God. We think about love. We think about forgiveness. We think about that person as God sees them. We think about what God has done for us, how God has forgiven us. We think about these things instead of the negativity and of the offense that comes our way. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, set your mind on things above, not the things of this world. Ephesians 4 tells us that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's telling me something, guys. That's telling me that my mind needs to be reprogrammed to think the thoughts of God. Our mind doesn't naturally run in the direction of God. It runs in the direction of the world. It runs in the direction of sin. It runs in the direction of doubt and unbelief. It runs in the direction of unforgiveness and jealousy and all of these things. So I need to reprogram my mind so that it runs in the direction of love and grace and God. And the way that we reprogram our mind is by meditating on the Scriptures, on knowing the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 says, think on things that are true or honorable or right or pure or excellent or praiseworthy. Any of those things, Paul says, think on these things. Think on these things. We need to reprogram our mind so that we're thinking the thoughts of God instead of thinking about the offense, thinking about the hurt, thinking about woe is me and poor old me and nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And all of these things, we need to think on the victory that's ours in the Lord. And then we need to do what Jesus did to the devil. Jesus said, come to me and learn of me. In Matthew chapter 4, and we won't take the time today, I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 4, first dozen verses, Luke chapter 4, first dozen verses. Here's what you find. You find Jesus in a one-on-one confrontation with the devil. And he's been in the wilderness, he's been fasting for 40 days, he's seeking God for 40 days. And when he becomes hungry, the Bible said the devil came against him and began to tempt him. And he tempted him to turn the stone into bread or to jump off of the top of the temple and to see if God will save you and bow down to me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, the devil said. And every time the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus quoted the word of God to the enemy. He used the spiritual sword that he had to run the devil out of his life. But the Bible tells us that he did it with the words of his mouth. And I shared with you last week the importance of learning to speak the Scriptures and learning even to pray out loud with the words of your mouth, because our words release spiritual power. Our words release spiritual power. Our words are what us. We're in this natural world, but we're also in the spiritual world. And the bridge between the two is the words of our mouth. And if we're willing to declare the words of God, if we're willing, Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. He said, speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. He didn't say just think about it. He said, speak to it. Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. We speak. Our words are like containers that contain spiritual power. And when we speak the word of the Lord, we speak the power of God into our lives, you see. The Bible said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, was. Everything that he said came to pass. Everything that Jesus said came to pass. There's a spiritual principle there that tells us that words release spiritual power. And it's why you and I need to learn how to take the Word of God, fill our hearts with it, and then when the enemy attacks us, use that Word against him. You know, the unfortunate thing is that most of us Christians are living life unarmed. We don't have any Word in our heart. We don't have any spiritual weapons to defend ourselves with. See, that's why we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. Then when you make that choice to forgive, and the enemy begins to plant those negative seeds and begins to remind you of the offense and begins to remind you of how much you've been hurt and tries his best to stir up that hate, and you begin to think, you know, that's right. That thing did hurt. They don't really need to get away with that. They really do deserve my wrath. And you begin to think all of those things that you do think. Thank you. I got one amen. Those things that you do think. What we need to do, and I just very simply, here's what we need to do. When the start saying those things to us, we need to tell him, no. You need to tell the devil no. That's wise. Is that good enough? Every now and then, tell the devil no instead of yes, all right? All right. We need to tell the devil, no, I am not going to seek vengeance. I am not going to pour out wrath. I am going to walk in the love of God, and I am going to forgive that person for what they did, because that's what God wants me to do, and I'm going to please my God, and I'm going to do what's right. And you need to say it out loud, and you need to say it to the devil, and you need to let him know where you stand. I'm talking about speaking the word to the enemy, brothers. Listen, I'm talking about using your words as a spiritual tool against the devil. Not just thinking thoughts in your mind. Listen, your mind is the devil's playground. And if you think you're going to defeat him in a battle in your mind, you're mistaken. He's going to beat you silly if all you're going to do is try to think thoughts and outthink him. You need to speak the word. You need to speak the word to the enemy. And you can run him out of your life just like Jesus did. Even if you have to do it 500 times a day. Jesus said 70 times 7. You just do it. When the enemy speaks negativity to you, you speak faith to him. When he speaks doubt, you speak faith. When he speaks hate, you speak love. When he tries to speak unforgiveness and revenge, you speak forgiveness and love back to him. Use the weapons that God... Listen. The Bible tells us that God has prepared victory for us. But the Bible also teaches us he has prepared us for victory. He's already won the victory, but he has also equipped us for victory. That's why the scriptures say, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is the victory, and faith brings the victory. Faith works by love. So in order to have the victory, you and I need to come to Jesus. We need to have a come to Jesus time. We need to walk with Jesus. We need to make the choice to walk by faith and not by sight. We need to make the choice to walk in love. And if we'll walk in love, walk in faith, and walk with Jesus, he will give us the victory, and we will find rest for our souls. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the work that Jesus Christ has done on our behalf at Calvary in purchasing our salvation, purchasing forgiveness for each of us, and offering to us the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have equipped us with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, and with the authority of the name of Jesus, so that we can live in victory over the works of darkness in our lives all the time. Lord, help us to be smart enough to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Help us to be smart enough to realize that we are in a battle in this lifetime, a battle with an adversary whose intent is our total destruction, and yet an adversary who has already been defeated so that we can live victoriously over him. Help us to be smart enough to remember these things. Help us to be smart enough to arm ourselves with the Word of God. And help us to be wise enough to use the Word of God as a spiritual sword that will run the enemy out of our lives and give us victory in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that victory is assured us and that we will find rest and peace for our souls. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together this morning as we bring our service to a close. Would you join me as we stand before God for just a few moments? Let's wait on the Lord. Thank you, Father. Before we leave here this morning, I want us all to make a quality decision in our heart, and it's this. We're believers in Jesus. We're on the winning team. That's good to know, isn't it? Going in, we're going to win. Make the quality decision that you're not going to let the enemy defeat you anymore. That you're going to enter into the battle. That you're going to wage war in love, or you're going to wage war against the spirits of darkness with the Word of God, and you're not going to walk in unbelief, doubt, worry, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness, any of these things anymore. Because you're going to study the Word of God, and you're going to let the Word of God transform your life as your mind is renewed through the Word of the Lord. Make a quality decision today. The choice is ours. You understand that the choice is ours. God has saved us. He has equipped us. He's given us everything we need to walk in victory. Now, are we going to do it? Are we going to walk in it? Are we going to use what God's given to us? Or are we just going to sit there and just let the enemy wreak havoc in our lives? Now, I'm telling you, in order to do this, you've got to choose righteousness. You've got to choose to be a doer of the Word of God. You can't just keep living your life any old way you choose. You have to make the choice to do what God says to do with your life. And then you'll see the victory and the power of God manifest for His glory in your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I believe. And I'll just say this out loud to you. I believe that we're going to start hearing results and praise reports from people who begin to put the enemy under their feet by walking in the authority of Jesus, swinging the spiritual sword of the Word of God. And Father, we thank you in advance for the victories that come day by day as we live for the glory of the Lord. Father, I commit this congregation into your hands today. I thank you for the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with them today. And I trust, Father, that your word is going to be a seed that takes deep root in every fertile heart today. I thank you for the crop of righteousness it will yield, victories that will come forth. And I give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. So as we leave here today, Father, we leave with a spirit of hope, with a spirit of anticipation, with a spirit of excitement, knowing that victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. If we can pray with you about personal things today, if there's something that you want us to be in agreement with you about, if you'll stay around after the service, we'll pray and minister to you personally about any need you have going on in your life today. Stick around and let me say goodbye to folks as they go, and then we'll pray and minister to you personally. Let's sing our song of dismissal today, and we'll be moving on. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. As we go out the door, in fact, let's just stay where you are for just a moment, all right? Just stay where you are before you go, because our kids want to come up. They have collected shoe boxes themselves, our children's church downstairs, and they have raised enough money to collect and put together 20 shoe boxes themselves, and they want to come and put them on the table this morning. Y'all come on in this morning. Come on in and put all of these things on the table up front there. Follow Dave in there and put those on the table in there.